Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, Sherrod Blakely covers the Celtics and NBA for NBC Sports in Boston. He joins us tonight to talk about the Celtics a little bit. Hey, Sherrod, thanks for joining us on CBS Sports Radio, brother.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem at all.
Hey, so, you know, Kyrie, it's everything to this team. You know, points, assists, his field goal percentage is sickening. His handle is ridiculous. He is, like, the reason for me that I watch Celtic games. Like, I can't get enough of watching this guy play basketball, and I play a ton of basketball, and he's one of those guys like Harden. I just got to watch his games just to watch him break ankles and make stuff happen, scoring, passing, and winning. They are just not the same team without him. And with him and Brown out, I mean, they just don't, you know, they don't do it for me, obviously.
No, and they don't do it for themselves, frankly. They've found a way to, from game to game, just really compete. And they'll win their share of games without them. But when you talk about the goals that they set for themselves this season, which is to make another deep playoff run, you can't do that without Kyrie Irving. He is – not only does he deliver points, but he also delivers presence. And he makes those guys around him better, which is something that we never really had a feel for when he was in Cleveland, because before LeBron got there, they were just a hot mess. They weren't very good. And once LeBron arrived, you know, he was kind of relegated to being that number two guy. In Boston, he is the alpha of this franchise. He's the one that everyone is locked in and focused on. And without him, you know, they can still, you know, possibly get out of the first round. But in terms of getting to the conference finals, NBA finals, that's just not going to happen if you don't have a healthy Kyrie Irving.
So, first, let's break down what's wrong. And, you know, I think they're real vague, obviously. I know Stevens has talked about it. He's got to talk to more people, and they're monitoring the knee soreness and everything else. But it's just got to be real scary for him and for Celtic fans to hear about bad knees from this star player that they got their hands on. Are you worried about his knees, like, for the future? And obviously for right now, it is a problem.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about it for the present, because right now, you know, he's been able to manage the pain tolerance associated with that soreness throughout the season. But now it's not it hasn't gone away as quickly as they've been accustomed to this season. So that's why it's really, in the short term, I'm more concerned. Long term, I think he's going to be okay. I think that, you know, that you're always concerned when you're talking about knees, because the point that you were making, kind of alluding to, If you got bad wheels, you're just not going to be a very good player. It's that simple. And with his talent and skill set, he needs those wheels, that knee, to be as close to, you know, being game ready as possible. I'm more concerned about the short term than I am the long term, because again, if he can't get to the point where he can get back on the floor and do the things that we're accustomed to seeing him do right now, there's no point in talking about the future, because if he can't handle things in the present, the future is irrelevant, in my opinion, at this point.
No doubt. Hey, Sherrod Blakely with us, NBC Sports in Boston. You know, when Hayward went down at the beginning of the year, were you surprised that, as I was, at how good they were even without him, like with that lineup? And no disrespect or anything, but I thought, like everyone else, that you lose that guy, it's not going to be the same. But they actually, like, you know, just took off flying through the early part of the season, you know, beating everyone. And I think establishing their season as a successful one, no matter what happens in the end, they were going to have a great season because of the way they played, even without him in the first couple months.
And to me, that's the story that is never going to get old because of, frankly, they had no business winning that many games, 16 in a row, with a patchwork lineup. You know, when the season, before the season began, Brad Stevens had a mapped out plan of how he would use Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving to essentially have one of those guys on the floor for the entire game in some capacity. And that was a game plan that would just put a lot of stress on opponents because you would have one elite scorer that you had to deal with every single minute of the game, and then you got Al Horford, who's Mr. Facilitator, and so it was a great game plan. And then 5 minutes of the season, it's in the wastebasket, out completely. I love the fact that the Celtics have found a way to convince those young guys that they're not young. Brad Stevens has really stressed the fact that yes, you may be a rookie or a young player in this league, but you don't have to make young player mistakes. You watch film, you watch the veterans, you pay attention, you do the little things off the court to strengthen your basketball IQ so that when you get in the game, you're not going to play like a rookie. And we see that in Jason Tatum. We see that in guys like Shimi Ogele, who doesn't put up big numbers, but he's giving them some versatility from a defensive standpoint. Shane Larkin, who was out of the league last year, is back and doing great things. So he's figured out a way to convince guys that they can play certainly a lot better than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, I think Shane's played as well, if not better, in the last 10 days than even Terry Rozier, who, you know, got a lot of that burn. And then I got to ask you, though, about two other things. One, we never discussed Jaylen's concussion. So they're in, Portland getting ready for the game tomorrow night. Big game against a really hot team that Houston just cooled off. But they are playing terrific basketball. And this is a very tough, long road trip game against a good team. They're going to have their hands full. But Brown's concussion, speaking of badasses, this guy's been playing 30 minutes a game, giving you 14 a game and so much more. Rebounds, dimes, steals. He just makes plays. The guy has, I don't think anyone saw it coming, that he'd explode like he has this year and become such a stud. And what's his status with that concussion? That stuff's scary.
It is. And Jaylen, he's with the team on a trip, and he's targeting Ashley Sunday against Sacramento to come back. So that is great news for the Celtics. He not only does he provide those things you mentioned, but also his defense, I think, has really been the main reason why Brad Stevens has leaned on him so much. When the season began, the plan was for Jaylen Brown to basically be their defensive stopper, a two-way player who could give them some points here and there, but they wouldn't need that because you have Gordon, you have Kyrie, and then you have Al. Well, without Gordon, Jaylen has become the number two scorer on this team, and his ability to find that balance between being a scorer and an above-average defender, you know, right now he's still got ways to go, but he's showing signs of being kind of a young Kawhi Leonard in the making as far as his size, his build, and just the techniques and skills that he brings to the table. So the Celtics are very excited about the growth that they've seen out of him in a very, very short period of time.
So your boy Smart, I love him defensively, and I think he's the lunch pail guy in Boston. That's why I believe they haven't gotten rid of him or dealt him, whatever. They always talk Marcus Smart's going, but he never does because he gives you that solid, you know, double figs and then the rebounds and the passing and the, you know, the defense and the steals and the harassment. I just think he's fantastic. What is, you can't play with a bad torn thumb either, and broken fingers are bad enough, but when you tear that thumb, what's the latest on his projections?
Yeah, he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season for sure. Best case scenario for him as far as return would be, and this is very, very just being over really optimistic, he can get back for near the end of the first round, the playoffs, early second round. That is a best-case scenario for him. Realistically, if the Celtics can get to the second round, he should be able to play at some point in that second round series. But the point that you made earlier, I mean, he really has been, you know, the difference maker for them when they've been able to take off from the All-Star break to where they are now. Those guys that his numbers are never going to correlate to what he brings in terms of impact. Horrible shooting when you look at his numbers, but damn, he plays so hard defensively. He gives you a chance night in and night out to win, even on nights when statistically he hasn't played particularly well.
So Hayward's he's not coming back, but they, because the team is like, he's not playing, but he wants to play, and he's been shooting and training and getting his game back in order and working on his everything, his handle, his shot, his footwork a little bit. How's it going? And I mean, obviously, it would just ruin, I think, it had to ruin his life, and then it ruined their season a little bit, if you ask me. How's he doing, and is he really that far off? I think it's smart to not play him, but is he really that far off?
Well, he's not able to practice with them, and if you can't even do that, there's no point in even getting into whether you're going to be able to play and help him. But he is making progress, and I like the fact that he has been in what I like to call keep hope alive mode throughout this entire process, because everything that we have been told, everything we've seen, he's not going to come back this year. And yet he continues to tell himself, but there's a chance I might be able to make it interesting. He's not coming back this year. But I think he's convinced himself that I'm going to keep that hope alive. And I think that's really helped him throughout this process, because when you're going through the rehabilitation process that he's going through, it can be very boring, very mundane. And it's not a whole lot to be excited and jazzed up about. But if you have this belief that if I keep putting in this work, I'm going to get back on the court, maybe even this year. I think it has helped keep him encouraged on those days when those workouts have been just absolutely brutal for him to deal with. So I encourage him to keep talking about, yeah, I got a shot to come back until there's no games for him to come back to. But the Celtics, they have maintained from the very beginning that he was not coming back this year. And just talking with people in the medical field about his injury, they've indicated that it is highly unlikely that he would come back. And even going back to the disabled player exception that they received for his injury, one of the criteria for that is a doctor to examine him, an independent doctor,
right,
to determine whether it's likely or unlikely that he'll be back by June 15th. So when they got the trade exception, you knew that the medical community did not think he would be back at the earliest June 15th. And for the Celtics, that clearly his season's over in their minds.
So do you think, Ashrod, do you think that they'll be okay in these playoffs against all these tough teams? Because everyone always says, it's Toronto and Cleveland and Boston. But, let's face facts. If let's say, hopefully Kyrie's, just saving it up for the playoffs, because that's what I care about. And then if he's able to go and Brown's fine after the post-concussion and he's fine, I think they're a dangerous team. But there are teams, and all of them are dangerous. Even if they play Whiteside and Dragic and Wade, that's a dangerous team. And then let's say the Bucks caught them. They're dangerous with Greek Freak and Henson and company and all these guys on that team that have been able to Middleton fill it up. The Wizards will get Wall back. They're dangerous. The Pacers have played solid. Embiid, I don't want to play him and Simmons. There's all these teams that could be problematic for them. Are you worried about how they'll do in the playoffs with all these injuries they've had?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Celtics will, even if, let's say, Kyrie's not able to play at all, I still think they've got enough depth, and I think they'll be motivated enough to get out of the first round. But the point you're making is absolutely spot on. There are no cupcakes in the postseason in the Eastern Conference. There's not one single team that's going to get into the playoffs isn't capable of winning a first round series, and that for the Boston Celtics is what's going to keep them up at nights wondering, what are we going to do if we don't have Kyrie? Because again, with him, you've got a much clearer path to at least the second round and probably the conference finals. But without him, it really does become a crapshoot. A lot will depend on who you match up with, how the rest of your crew is doing health-wise, and how your opponent is in terms of the health of their team. So things become very dicey if you're the Boston Celtics and you've got Kyrie, who either is unable to play or will be to some degree limited.
So will you go to those two great college games tomorrow in Boston, or are you not supposed to go to those games because you're like covering the Celtics?
I will be in the studio covering the Celtics game, unfortunately. But you know what? The only reason why I'm not hurt more by it is because my team is still in the tournament, Syracuse University.
Right.
And frankly, that's all I care about at this point.
That's all. He doesn't even care about anything else. But listen, if I were you, like, I'd just pretend like I'm covering the Celtics, and I'd still go see that Nova West Virginia game and then go back to the studio later.
Game. I know. That's going to be a great game. Great game.
Hey, great job tonight. I love talking NBA and Celtics rag with you, H-Rod. Thanks for coming on the bench, man.
No problem, man. Take it easy.
All right, H-Rod Blakely of NBC Sports in Boston covers the Celtics and the NBA.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.